America's home for college sports. Live from Jake and Joe's in Waltham, this is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll have special guests and get you caught up on Eagles football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, Dilly Dilly, and also sponsored by McGovern Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, driven by you, Bletzer & Bletzer PC, developing long-standing relationships with the clients we serve since 1959. Now it's time to talk BC football alongside head coach Steve Adazio. Here's the voice of the Eagles, John Meter-Perrell.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Jake and Joe's in Waltham. Great to have you with us on the BCIMG Sports Network. As we are coming off a bye week, good to see Pete Cronin, my broadcast partner. Pete, how are you?
I'm unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
And you're supposed to say, I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
Here you go.
I don't believe you. But you know what, Pete? We say this every year after a bye. It's almost like week one again because I think both of us, you were probably chopping wood up in Maine and doing some household chores and doing your honey-do list like you
always do.
Chasing
the woodpecker off the property.
Chasing the woodpecker off the property.
These guys.
And that's that's good that you're doing that stuff. But we come back after the bye, and we're thinking, all right, turn the page here. Let's go. We got five games remaining, and it's a sprint to the finish. And it all starts with Miami this week on Friday night, the 25th-ranked Hurricanes. But the good news for BC is they're coming off a big win over Louisville, 38-20, where they dominated for the most part after kind of some dicey moments in between. But they came back, and it was a relentless effort. And we got a guy here tonight filling in for Coach Adazio by the name of Rich Gannell, who is a familiar face around Boston College, now the receivers coach on the BC staff, and one of the all-time greats at BC, catching bombs from Matt Ryan. Rich, good to see you.
Good to be here. Appreciate it.
Filling in, by the way, this is like a pinch hitter now, Pete. I mean, you know how tough it is to pinch hit?
Yeah, but you know what? Here's a chance to hit the long ball.
That's true. That's
a lot
true.
Of pressure right now.
A lot of pressure.
I can hear it in your voice.
The good thing about Gannell is he, at one point, I believe, wanted to be in broadcasting.
I did. As you know, that I interned with you guys, I think, my junior year.
That is correct.
Up early in the morning, getting the coffee and everything.
Tell how all the great ones start.
Getting the breakfast sandwiches.
But I got to give you a lot of credit because you were always there.
Absolutely.
And you were always on time.
Yep.
And you were industrious. And you said you come in every morning and say, Meet, what can I do for you?
No.
That's the sign of a good intern.
What's funny about it is how early I had to wake up and how much of a struggle it was during college. Now I'm up like that all the time. You know what I mean? So
and that's
prepared me for this.
I asked Rich today, Pete, I'm like, what time do you get there in terms of the BC offices? Today was 6:20?
6:20.
Well, what's the hard start? 6:19 or 6:21?
You know, we start the day, typically this day, at 6:45, staff meeting. Then we're right on the field for walkthrough, bright and early. And as you know, right around this time, it's nice and chilly, so it kind of wakes you up anyway.
Yeah.
And are the players bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Hey, they're used to it. They're into the routine. Right. Week in and week out, it's the same thing, so they're right into it, and they're ready to go.
There's a real method to the madness in terms of the way you have designed the practice schedule. Primarily to get, for all the obvious reasons, but get the kids out of bed, get them going.
Absolutely.
Get the work of the day behind them, and then turn them loose and give them an advantage to get off to the classroom.
Absolutely. So I know, like, when I played, you know, it kind of broke our day up because we practiced in the afternoon. So I had class from, 9 to 12:30, and then we had practice in the afternoon, and it kind of separated the day. I know I like this schedule. I know if I played in it, and like you said, you get practice done in the morning, then the kids got the rest of the day to themselves. Class, tutoring, they eat, all that stuff. So get football done in the morning. It's usually there for a nice four-hour block, and then you're done.
How do you manage the bye week? We talked to Coach Steve about this a lot in terms of it feels different for the coaches, too, because everybody's kind of wandering around on Saturday. Maybe you can watch some college football, spend some quality time with your family, but it throws your schedule a bit off kilter, doesn't it?
A little bit, but, it gives you a chance to recharge. And, Coach Adazio always does a great job with us and giving us that time to recharge and come back fresh and bright-eyed and get back into the routine. But, it is good to spend time, see family. Got time to spend time with my family who's actually here, who surprised me today.
Excellent. See that?
But no, but it's always good to recharge, like I said, and, get back into the groove once you get back, because you also miss it. when you're away from it. Just for that little span of time, you miss football and you want to get back into it.
Yeah.
Now, you get a chance, obviously, the weekend off, chance to watch other people. Not that I'm sure you're clamoring for more football, but but I always say that coaches are they are creative and innovative, but,
right.
but never met one who wouldn't steal a good idea. So did you get anything good from the weekend watching?
Well, here's what I'll say. I used to watch football
yes.
all day. This time I kind of took a step back from it. You know, you're around it so much. Like I said, I got to be around family, and I kind of spent the day with them and didn't focus too much on football for just a day. And then I did watch some things. I didn't pick up anything new, but I did watch. You always got to take a little glimpse of it, but watch future teams that we're going to play down the road and everything. But
well, like Pete and I do often, we watch the next opponent. And
right.
Miami was off this week, too.
Right, exactly.
So we didn't get a chance to watch them, but I did watch the Virginia game
mm-hmm.
when they played at Virginia, and Virginia beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a team this year that certainly talented. That's evident at 5-2, ranked
yep.
25th, 2-1 in the ACC, but not your typical Miami in that they're less explosive. I know your expertise is on the offensive side of the mm-hmm. ball, but you know what it can be like when you have a quarterback situation mm-hmm. in week 8, you're still searching. And that looks like Miami now, and then Kosi Perry and Malik Rozier, who is going to start on Friday night. So it's a jump ball for them. So that's a good thing for BC.
Yeah, and like I said, I can only speak to our side of the ball. And just watching their defense, they're still explosive, and they thrive on turnovers. There's a lot of tip ball interceptions, strip sacks on quarterbacks, but that's what they thrive on. But you don't know what you'll get from them sometimes. They're a little up and down, but when they go, and they're a tough team to beat, especially if you're turning the ball over.
Yeah, the turnover chain has been much vaunted. 47 turnovers in the last 20 games. That leads FBS the last 2 years. It's an amazing ball hawk unit. Yep. What do you see on film in terms of how they work their defense?
They wreak havoc. They play fast. They attack. They go after the ball. Ball's in the air. They're trying to tip it. When they're going after the quarterback, like I said, they're trying to strip it. But they go after the ball because, like I said, that's what they thrive on. That's what gets the team going is forcing turnovers.
Yeah, I watched the UVA game, and the quarterback was pressured. Virginia quarterback was pressured. He showed a lot of escapability.
Mm-hmm.
He was 21 carries, 61 yards, but 4 sacks and threw 3 bad balls.
Mm-hmm.
It all emanates from pressure.
Right.
And, You look at there's so many. I was looking for quarterback pressures in the stat sheet. They didn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the game. There are a lot of them. They're moving that quarterback off the dime.
Right.
From your standpoint, obviously, offensively, you get a hold up protection-wise, scheme-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But the running quarterback seemed to give them some trouble.
Right. And, I think we do a good job of also putting our guys in position to make those plays. Like you said, our offensive line is a veteran group. Our quarterback, second year in, he's starting to get a better feel for how we want to do things on offense and getting the ball in his hand so he's not being pressured or taking sacks. And I think, Coach Loeffler does a really good job of putting him in spots so he's not being put in those positions where he's got to make so many plays with his feet.
And your receiving group this year, you're stocked.
Mm-hmm.
And we always remark about how many guys BC uses every game with
mm-hmm.
7, 8, 9 distributing in
right.
terms of receivers. Tight ends, well documented, but your group of, you look at Kobe White, Michael Walker, guys like Jeff Smith, Ben Glines, C.J. Lewis has emerged at times this year.
Mm-hmm.
Glines is more of a running back now, but what you have in that room is something that BC hasn't had in a long time
yep.
in terms of depth.
Right. It's an eclectic group, too. They all have their specific, skill sets that we try to take advantage of, especially when we're designing plays for specific people. But they're an exciting group to be around. They work, as everybody does, but they work their tails off every day. And there's a good culture in our room and have a good group of leaders, senior leaders, to lead that way and, kind of show younger guys like C.J. Lewis, who's emerging, and Kobe White, who's just in his second year of playing, but showing them the way of how to practice and how to prepare. So it's good to have that mix.
Right.
Now, assuming that you're going to get a steady diet of what was successful, what Miami saw as successful against Virginia, even though they lost, pressure the quarterback.
Yep.
I would expect that you have game planning to get the ball out of Brown's hands quickly. That's to be expected. What do you do in the that period of time when the pressure does get to him, can't run your, he can't do his go through his progressions. Your receivers are taught to do what?
As a receiver?
Yes.
Get open for the quarterback. You got to help him out, you know, especially for a guy, like I said, AB going into his second year playing. You want to help give him confidence as well, you know. And when things are breaking down and the pocket does break down, if it happens to, and he gets out of the pocket and he has to make plays with his feet, continue to play and get open for him. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's something that we practice and something that Anthony does well for us. So, you know, our job as receivers is to help him out and get him going.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of times where you see a play, broken play, if you will, because of pressure. Receiver will go to a secondary route, and secondary will clear out.
Right.
They're up, and now second move is to the end zone.
Right.
It's a big play.
Absolutely, and those are the plays that are backbreakers for defensive guys because they feel like, you know, they're trying to hit home, but then they don't make the sack, and the quarterback gets out of the pocket and makes a play down the field. So, you know, hopefully we can, if we do get that opportunity, we make those plays.
What is the most difficult transition for a receiver that comes to Boston College as a freshman? C.J. Lewis is a redshirt, but what do you have to learn effectively to get on the field?
Our playbook's pretty extensive, but it's not hard either. You know, it's really just learning what – here's the thing. I know, and it's at every level, the first thing is just lining up, really. Where you fit in the formation. Where do you got to line up? What's your split? All those things. And then once you establish that part, it's just like playing at any level. The speed of the game will catch up with you. But just lining up first, that's the very first thing. And figuring out the formations we use, motions, shifts, anything like that, that's the number one thing.
And it's, so it's not as demanding as it may be at other places,
right,
is what you're saying.
That's what we as coaches, you know, we tend to make things a little harder than it really needs to be. But in our offense...
Where have we heard that before?
But in our offense, you know, we do a good job of kind of whittling things down to make it easier for our guys, especially as fast as we play.
Yep.
You know, we're an up-tempo team, so, you know, there's certain things that we do to help out our guys and get them lined up faster.
Now, there's a little... The game within the game, the part that I appreciate most, beyond the exploits of great catches and athleticism, and is, you know, Steve Adazio sitting in that chair would say our personality is we are a downhill, up-tempo run offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work unless people are blocking on the perimeter.
No doubt.
So, but you see so many guys who are in that position just don't embrace the
right
part of the game.
Right.
How do you get them to do that?
Well, that's what's different from us and, you know, receivers when they're being recruited, they understand that they need the block. Because like you said, we are an up-tempo team that we like to run the football. And you get them to do it because when you show them the film and see when they are blocking downfield, that's when you see 40, 50-yard runs as opposed to 8, 10-yard runs. That's the difference. And you just got to show them the video evidence of that.
Well, then seeing is believing. The guy, so they start throwing blocks, and they don't think they're going to get credit for it. Then you show it, and that block sprung the big play.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
And that's what we harp on. And there's a guy here tonight that you guys will speak with, Mike Walker, one of my seniors, who exemplifies that the best. And you see those guys hustling downfield and making those plays, and it catches on because then later on you start seeing a guy like C.J. Lewis and Kobe White doing the same exact thing because they're feeding off them. So.
And you're talking to a guy who played with Art Monk and Gary Clark. Yeah. Those guys block?
They all block.
Yep.
Yeah, we have power running team.
Right.
John Riggins, you know. Give the ball to Riggins and block downfield.
Yeah, but if they didn't block, were they pulled?
You didn't survive unless you had to be balanced. You couldn't be one-dimensional. You had to be able to get in there and mix it up.
That's how our offense works.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the game within the game that a lot of fans don't see. They see the big catch numbers, but they don't see the guy that can throw a block.
Right.
You know, and I think maybe a better example of that is move a little closer to the ball, the way the tight ends play here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Tight end intensive offense, sure, they throw the ball to them, but these guys are, for lack of a better descriptive, and it's not a shot at them, they're glorified offensive linemen. These guys are throwing really critical to the offense.
Absolutely, and I mean, we ask a lot of our tight ends too, and you know, Coach Leonard does a great job with those guys because they're blockers, they're route runners, they're pass catchers, they do it all, and you see a plethora of those guys, and they all do it really well. And, you know, that's what makes us different than throughout the country. A lot of teams don't use their tight ends the way we use ours.
Well, that's a bit of a we talked about this, the ACC tends to be five wide now, mm-hmm. you know, zero. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of stuff, spread them out and throw it downfield. And they talk, you always talk about how difficult it is to prepare for like a Georgia Tech who runs the wishbone or the, mm-hmm. the triple option. Okay, so you say, oh, it's that bastard set you have to prepare for. Well, Boston College has got a little bit of that going with the two tight end offense, don't they?
Absolutely, because like we said, a lot of teams are spread. They don't do what we do. They don't line up in two tight ends or line up with a tight end in an I formation. Not a lot of teams do that. So they also may not have that personnel to practice that, you know, throughout the week.
Yeah, I was looking at Miami's personnel, the depth chart. They've got a guy called the striker, and I'm like, who's the striker? He's going to be the nickelback.
Right.
Now, I looked at his height and his weight, and I said, okay, so he's a big part of that offense, defense, because they gave him a name.
Right.
You know, they may not be using him Friday night.
Right.
You know, so...
So that's,
I may.
That's
I don't
the
know.
Funny thing. You do look at their depth chart, and they have 12 people listed.
Yeah.
And now they got to list their Sam linebacker, which, you know, probably what we may see.
Right. If you're going to see a different prototype because of the way you guys run.
Absolutely.
Which is forcing them out of their comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Which is game within the game. You learn something every Monday night, don't you?
I certainly do, Pete. There's no doubt about that. Rich Cannell is our guest, filling in very capably for Steve Addazio here on the BC Football Show. As we will continue, as Rich mentioned, good preview, Rich. We will have a couple special guests as well, Aaron Montero and Michael Walker from the BC team, two key elements on Boston College's 5-2 run thus far. So we will look forward to hear from Rich Cannell coming up next from Jake and Joe's in Waltham after this from Anheuser-Busch. Quarterback is thrown for 97 yards. He's 8-for-16 in the shotgun. Eagles show him blitz. Pass back to throw. Here comes the pressure. They bring him down at the 14. It's Wyatt Ray with his second sack of the day.
Live from Jake and Joe's, you're listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Once again, here's John Meter-Perrell.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show. Jake and Joe's in Waltham off Route 128. They do a tremendous job at Jake and Joe's. This just in, the World Series starts tomorrow night, Pete. I don't know if you heard.
I didn't know that. Are you kidding? Who's in it?
Did you hear?
Who's in it?
I think maybe the Red Sox against the Dodgers.
I'm going to have to watch for a change.
I think you're going to have to check it out. And Jake and Joe's is your place to watch every World Series game, every Monday Night Football game, every college football game. They come in here, every NFL game, you name it, they got it at Jake and Joe's in Waltham. And it's a great staff as well. We thank them every Monday night for their help. Here on the BCIMG Sports Network, he's Cronin, I'm Meter-Perrell. Rich Cannell, BC receivers coach, filling in for Steve Addazio. And it's amazing, 10 years ago, Rich, you were tearing it up on the gridiron.
Yeah, 10 years ago, about 25 pounds ago.
You look good, man.
Nah, I look awful.
You're playing weight.
This is what coaching does to you. Sit, watch film, and eat food.
You're not eating donuts in those rooms,
right? A lot of guys in that business.
Well, you know, Coach Addazio, Italian guy, we get a lot of pasta, a lot of pizza.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, he pulls out limoncello a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. We didn't get
any. With the broadcast crew. You think we got anything?
Nothing.
That would be bupkis.
Nothing.
Zilch. Nada. He owes us limoncellos. We have him on the record.
I hope that Nutrien reminds him that he promised it.
Yes.
Have you ever been?
No, we have not.
Oh,
I have not.
Boy.
He has, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Great spot.
You're missing out, me.
I know. I heard. I heard. Trust me, I heard. But 10 years ago, you had an outstanding career, left as the BC all-time leading receiver. Catching passes from Matt Ryan. Then you go to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pete and I always thought that you would be a terrific pro receiver. Great hands, great speed, knew the game. When you look back on that experience for you and where you are now, what do you think about?
Something that I preach to my receivers all the time, how important special teams is, as we take great pride in now. And, you know, what held me back was that I wasn't a great special teams player. You know what I mean? I didn't play on all phases. I was mostly a return guy. And at that time, they had probably three or four return guys in front of me, so I didn't stand a chance. But something that I preach to my guys, especially if they have aspirations of playing at the next level, is how important special teams is and the difference it makes in a game. And that's something we work really hard every single day. You know, it's something that Coach Addazio is very hands-on with, and he harps on a lot because it does make a huge difference in a game and field position and all the things incorporated. As you know, the last 2 weeks we've blocked, you know, a punt against NC State for a touchdown and against Louisville.
Game changers.
Game changers. Complete game changers.
Yeah. And a great point in that. I'm witness to it because I get over to practice. I see the job that Ricky Brown does as the coordinator, but everyone's got.
Right.
A role,
mm-hmm.
And I always I'm a product of the 70s, and the guy who was the pioneer in special teams was George Allen, mm-hmm. who was the first coach to really focus on it, it as a phase. And his philosophy was you either coach the special teams to win for you or you coach them not to lose for you. And there still prevails a mentality. A lot of coaches don't give it the time and energy and the priority. They're coaching so it doesn't beat them instead of coaching it so it can win a football game. And you guys are a perfect example how much that, that the momentum can change in one play.
Absolutely. From the springtime to training camp, we work on so many different fundamentals for it. And just teaching guys the different, you know, kickoff return, what you got to do, single absorbing, how to double team a guy on kickoff, or when you're on kickoff, sticking and stacking, using speed. I mean, there's so many different tools that we have and that we harp on every day. It's like our own little mini culture that we have a part of our team, the special teams unit, and the different lingo that we use that everyone, you know, kind of has a grasp of.
I'll tell you what was phenomenal about the Louisville game, which BC won 38-20, Nolan Borgeson, who came to BC as, I believe, the all-time leading receiver in New Jersey history, right? And you're a New Jersey guy.
I am a New Jersey guy.
He's a Jersey guy. And Pete and I said, man, that's Borgeson. Where's he been?
Right.
Now he's a defensive back.
Right.
So when he there's an example of a kid that comes in with much acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
He's in your room. Now he goes to defense.
Yep.
What do you tell that kid to remain confident?
You tell that kid you stay at it. You know, he's a that's kind of another great thing about our team. Our kids are great. You know what I mean? And, you know, they believe in what we do and believe in the message. And then you get proof of it with something like that. A guy just sticking with it and making a huge play for our team. And when you see younger guys kind of go through that phase of, oh, I'm not playing enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, whatever, just sticking with it and good things will happen to you. And he's a great example
of it. He's always remained committed to it.
He always has.
That's great.
Now, that goes back to recruiting, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm familiar with the general philosophy, but big changes in wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That position, I don't think for many, many years, with a few exceptions, you may be one of them, didn't scare a whole lot of people on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Different world today. You've got you described them as an eclectic group. Eclectic, just bring in the tangibles.
Right.
You got size, you got speed, mm-hmm. you got span. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts over there that should typically go back, probably before Steve got here, wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the shift in philosophy or?
You know, we mentioned earlier about our guys being able to block. So you notice a lot of our receivers are getting bigger. You know what I mean? And because we're asking to block linebackers, a guy to block safeties who, you know, are 210, 215 pounds. And then you got these, a lot of teams got bigger DBs nowadays. There's a lot of 6'1", 200-pound corners.
Yeah.
If you got a lot of little guys, it's hard to get open, you know. And, you know, we're kind of shifting more towards longer guys, quick twitch guys, strong hands, and more of a physical thing.
I was listening to Coach Belichick talk about his receivers. He was describing receivers who, when the ball hits their hands, mm-hmm. it's velvety as compared to a hammer on a bell. And I'm sure the velvety touch is, and I never thought of that. You can probably go watch a receiver work out, and you can hear if he's a good receiver or not.
Yeah, it's a sound that I always make, too, in our room when we're watching things and you see guys catch the ball. I know exactly what he's talking about. But you can see that a lot, and it's something that usually comes with the guy. It's not something that's learned.
Yep.
It's usually just a natural thing.
And it's going to be hard to have. I mean, that's just a DNA thing probably, right?
Right. It is. It is. You know, guys can always develop and get better at catching. But, like, that what we're talking about is a natural.
One of those guys, I think it's really developed as a receiver. He was a quarterback, Jeff Smith.
Right.
Who's a weapon. He's a
mm-hmm.
jet sweep guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's scoring touchdowns. He's a wide angle field guy. He's everywhere. What has it been like to coach him?
Oh, it's been great. And, you know, like I said, him, Mike, Elijah Robinson, my three seniors, those are my guys, you know, and I've had them when they were younger as sophomores and just watching them grow and develop into, you know, leaders of that room. But just specifically, you know, former quarterback, as you said, his speed. I always mess with him because you watch him practice, you watch him do things. He's watching a lot of guys like Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, and he tries to, you know, emulate a lot of things that they do. And I'm like, Jeff, listen, I understand what you're trying to do. I know it looks pretty. Can't always go for that, though.
You know, right? Catch the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
Catch the ball,
speed.
Get upfield, absolutely.
Well, he's a perfect example of a guy at being unselfish. Here came as a quarterback,
yep.
Highly recruited, had high expectations of playing in that position, mm-hmm. was presented with an opportunity to move to a different position because he brought a whole new set of skills mm-hmm. to wide receiver, most particular speed.
Right.
And he's fun to watch when he's got the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he is, and he's adapted well. And like I said, he's grown every year. You know, sophomore year was a learning experience for him. But he's one of those guys that kind of had a natural catching ability and natural route running ability. He had really, really great feet, and something that we noticed when we were talking about, you know, switching positions with him. And you know, but he's been a pleasure to be around. And, you know, my whole room, I love those guys.
Is there a guy under the radar, maybe? Will redshirt this year that fans are going to be able to say, hey, man, that kid's really emerged. Maybe next year at this time we'll be talking about fill in the blank. Who do you think that is?
We've got a few younger guys that have been, you know, busting their tail every day. You know, we have a kid from Rhode Island, Jelani Galloway, who's a freshman, who has that natural catching ability. And he's a longer kid. He runs really well. He kind of fit in that mold, like you said, of what we're trying to get to. But just like everything else, he's just trying to learn how to line up right now. So he's getting that part down, but that's definitely someone you want to look for in the future.
And Noah Jordan Williams.
Noah Jordan Williams, yep.
From Syracuse, who had a great spring.
Yep.
And I know he's been working very hard.
Yes, he has.
What does he bring?
He brings strong upper body. He's a physical kid. He's like about probably 200-plus pounds, strong hands, quick twitch guy. That's kind of what he brings.
So you've got a great future over the horizon, short-term future going into this football game this week. Give us a sense of how, coming off the win, obviously, it's a great victory against an opponent that poses a challenge at every position because they are athletic as hell. Man,
yes.
They get the award for looking good coming off the bus, right? You know, but you get another good team that looks good coming off the bus coming up Friday night.
Yep.
But the week off, you healed up, mm-hmm. you feel good week, a lot of energy. How's the team's kind of, how's their mojo going into this
week?
The
mojo's great. And like you said, coming off a win like that and the way it happened, because, you know, we started out a little slow. Actually, we started out fast and then had a little lull in there, you know, a few turnovers. But the way they fought back in the end of the game, the block punt really ignited us by Nolan. And, It was good for us, and it's good for everyone to recharge, take a step back, go see family, relax, catch up on some academic work, which is huge. As you guys know, being a BC student is not easy. It's an Ivy League education at that. But we're feeling good coming into this game. We had a nice practice today. You know, we'll have another good one tomorrow, and you know, just keep grinding every day.
And the week, dial it back a little bit. You know, Steve talks about the intensity level of practice tends to translate to the intensity level on Saturday, but there's a fine line between doing too much and not doing mm-hmm. enough. But the time off, I imagine you guys had a chance to heal up.
Absolutely, and you know, it's good for them. But as we get closer to the game, the intensity level really amps up mentally as opposed to physically. You know, the physical part usually early on is coach always schedules it that way, and then as we get towards the end, it's really heavy mentally and making sure we're, you know, really on top of our assignments.
Yeah, I want to talk to the players, upperclassmen. They're running out of runway, 5 weeks.
Hell yeah,
and a bowl game.
And it's a function of, do you see the end of the runway, and does it change the way you think?
No, I'm sure if you ask them, they're week by week guys, and they're focused on this week, focused on being Miami. And whatever happens after that.
So he's got the coach speak down.
He's as good as Adagio.
He's learned well.
Better, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. It's going to be a showdown. We love Friday Night Football at the Heights coming up at 6:30. Our broadcast time, 7 o'clock, the kickoff on the BC IMG Sports Network. BC and number 25, Miami. He's Rich Gannell, BC receivers coach. Coming up, we'll be joined by a special guest from Jake and Joe's Waltham. After this, from Nissan. Fourth down and 80 to block punt. Block punt available in the end zone if they can track it down. And they do. Touchdown, Boston College. Travis Levy got it again for the second straight week. He recovers the block punt.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Jake and Joe's with your host, John Meter-Perrell.
And great to have you, as always, on a Monday night at Jake and Joe's. Actually, next Monday night, Pete Cronin, we are going to be on location at BC's Hillside Cafe from 7 to 8 o'clock. So we're going to be on campus. It's our version of game day on Monday night, 7 o'clock at Hillside Cafe. Are you ready for that?
I will be then. I got a whole week to prepare.
You got a whole week.
I'm going to start physical now, get to the mental.
I know you feel very energized whenever you're on campus because, you know, Cronin is a, what, 1947 grad? Was that
longest four years of my life, 1947.
Approximately. So we're going to get you back on campus next week. We invite you to come out and join us there. But always we'll be back at Jake and Joe's the week after. But, you know, Pete, we kind of Rich Gannell's done a heck of a job tonight filling in for Steve Adazio. We're going to elevate even more, as Rich would say, with Mike Walker and Aaron Montero, two key cogs in the BC offense. Mike Walker, outstanding returner, leading the nation in combined kick return yardage. Aaron Montero has been a multi-year starter on the offensive line. And the BC offense is averaging 40 points a game, most points scored by BC through seven games since 1940. That is staggering. 271 points. These guys are a big part of that. Welcome, guys. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well.
Great to see you, man.
Thank you.
Don't be intimidated here.
Yeah.
Aaron, good to see you, man.
Nice to see you, too.
The offense this week, you're going to be up against it against the Miami team that thrives on turnovers. What do you guys see in the Miami defense, and what concerns you, if anything?
I mean, I'll go first. So, just as you said, that if we thrive off of turnovers, that's, I mean, they got the turnover chain. That's what they're known for. They've been doing that for, what, 2 years now? So that's definitely a big component of their defense, and that's definitely how they get their momentum shifts and get the game flowing in their way. So that's definitely a big component that I would say. And, I mean, they're ball hawks too, so definitely in their secondary.
And when you watch a tape with Rich Gannell in the receivers room, what do you see from their defensive backs?
I mean, they're physical, they're fast, and, I mean, They're going to be making some plays. Going to be some contested balls, and we got to come down with them. So
now you got a. We were just talking about. I don't know if you were here in the building, but the I would say that not the dark side of being a receiver, the hard side of being a receiver is blocking. Now you guys, without wide receivers throwing blocks, this running attack is not quite as effective as it would be.
Definitely.
So I'm not. You kind of fit a different profile because I believe in your other job that you possess an extra chromosome because fearlessness is you're either fearless or fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's working for you and returning kicks.
Thank you.
That's a tough job.
Yes, sir.
Now I used to try to hurt people like you. But those days are long gone, Mike. Don't worry. But when you are receiving the ball, what's your mentality? What you walk us through what it's like when the ball comes down, leaves a foot of the opposing team's kicker or punter, ball comes down, what's going through your head?
I mean, honestly, probably not much. I mean, I kind of think it's kind of just natural. I mean, for me at least, you can't really think too much because if you're thinking too much, then I mean, you might drop the ball. You can't be overthinking things. So you kind of just, I mean, definitely on punt returns, I'm just kind of looking up, kind of scanning the field, looking both ways. And then finally, as I catch the ball, just got to make that one person, the first person miss and get vertical. It's all about getting vertical. So
downhill, man. That's
yes, sir.
Exactly it.
That's
it. And he does it better than anybody. And Aaron, 6'7", 320, left tackle. And you've done a heck of a job securing the pocket this year for Anthony Brown. What's the progression been like for you since coming out of Brockton? You were a star at Brockton High School, local guy. What's it been like from day one to now for you?
It's just a lot of hard work. When I first got here, I was out of shape. I wasn't ready to go. And, I mean, just over the years, it's still a learning process every day to get back in and just keep working every day to work on your craft and work on what it takes to play at a high level.
What's the hardest part about being an offensive lineman at BC?
You gotta live up to the name. You know, the school is known for putting out offensive linemen and making men and making just good players and good physical guys. And I think that's just, like, the tough part is just living up to that each day we come out to practice and each game we can play.
And was it a tough transition for you? Brockton's obviously a powerhouse, but when you came to BC, what did you have to learn to mature to be a starter?
I think I just had to adjust to the speed of the game. Obviously, it's a different level from playing high school now to Division I football. I think that was the biggest adjustment at first. And then, obviously, the plays being more in-depth and knowing more the intricate details about each play and each call that we have is a lot more complex than it was in high school.
Now, you've got a new offensive line coach this year. Talk about the offensive line being together for, I've got a stat here, it's like a 170 consecutive, 138 career starts for the front five, the first five guys. It's a lot of football.
Yeah.
But you get a disruptive event, now you get a new offensive line coach. How'd that all transition?
We were hurt at first when Coach Fry left, because we were already close to him, but Coach Troutwine came in and feel like we didn't really miss a beat, because he was here when we were all freshmen, we were all young guys, he was a GA at the time, and so we kind of still had that same connection, and to have him back, it's been great. I mean, we just kind of just are with him every step of the way. He's with us, and we trust him that he's going to get us in the right plays and get us in the right techniques and things like that.
And the Miami defensive front, this kid named Gerald Willis, who likely will be an NFL player. They have NFL prospects all over the field. Linebackers are very good. What do you see from their defense?
Their front seven, specifically, just tough, physical guys. They like to make plays. They're quick. They're strong. They're physical. And that's what we've seen all week and all last week on tape.
Is the mantra this week from the coaching staff, or just today, even at practice, Rich told us you guys were very spirited. The mantra's got to be, I'm guessing, to play BC football. Downhill, smash them in the mouth. It's going to be a little cold. Miami probably doesn't like that. You guys both can answer this question. That's going to be a major advantage for you, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it gives us an advantage that we get to practice outside in this kind of weather all week and get used to the being cold and getting used to the wind hitting our skin and just like getting ready for that. And we play up here all year round, so the cold weather is like second nature to us.
My Mike, getting off the line against the secondary is no easy task, but when it gets a little cold, that might be easier, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, just as he said, we're getting used to it as we've been practicing throughout the week. We haven't been using the indoor much. We've been outside, so we've been getting used to that cold weather. And I mean, as far as getting off the line, I mean, yeah, you get a little stiff when it gets a little cold out. So you gotta make sure you get warmed up nice and well before you go out on the field. So
we've seen a number of over the years a number of Southern and Dome teams come into this park and just cower because of the weather.
Definitely.
And we kind of make light of it, but it's definitely an advantage. You go out there and knock them around. And
Florida State last year.
Yeah, they didn't like it at all. We actually, short story, we're playing Syracuse here, last game of the season. Dick McPherson's the coach. The receiver dropped the ball, came off the sidelines, put the gloves on. Coach McPherson rips off his jacket. He goes down to his T-shirt, rips the gloves off the kids, rips the jacket off his shoulders, saying, hey, stop warming up, man. It's cold out. Get over it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Boston College kids didn't miss a beat, and it was a great victory for the Eagles. But that's a legitimate advantage for you guys. No question.
Definitely.
When someone asks you what it means to be a BC football player, you guys can both answer this. What does it mean to you, Aaron?
I think it just means being a part of a team, just having the special brotherhood that I feel like many other teams out there don't really have. I think it's... you're a part of something special. You're a part of, even if you guys do good or bad, you got a good supportive fan base. You got coaches that care about you. You got teammates that love you. And I feel like that's just something that's always been preached to us since we got here.
Mike? Yeah, I mean, definitely playing hard-nosed physical football. It's definitely what we've been about since I've been here. I mean, definitely pounding the rock. Running. I mean, as Aaron knows, definitely known for our running offense. And, I mean, even as a wide receiver, I'll speak. I mean, I love going in there and blocking, and I mean, I love doing my thing, anything that I could help our team be successful. So it's definitely a big part of our team.
See, Gunnell's got him coached up.
I liked it. Yep. I like the way Rich operates. Coach Gunnell, good stuff, Coach. The one last quick question, though. You're looking at, I pose this to Coach Gunnell, but so you're in the second half of the season. You're both seniors. It'd be hard not to get excited every day at this point in your collegiate careers, in my opinion, but I don't know. You guys got a great opportunity ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you got to take practice, go into every practice like it's a game. I mean, you only got a few left right now for both of us, and I mean, we just got to take every practice like it. I mean, you never know. It could be our last, so you got to go all out every single day, and I mean, make the most of it. Enjoy the brotherhood.
I'm sure you will.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Yes.
And Aaron, I think every kid that comes to BC as an offensive lineman is probably looking at guys like, you know, you could go down the list, Jeremy Trueblood, Dan Cope, and Josh Beekman, who's on the staff this year, guys who have thrived in the NFL. I know Coach Dazzo doesn't like you guys to look ahead, but in terms of your future, are you thinking about that a little bit?
I mean, it's definitely in the back of my mind. It's been a dream of mine since I was a kid. But, I mean, at this point, I've really bought into what we have going as a team, and I really just want to focus on each game, each practice, each day, just getting better and better and seeing what opportunities present themselves.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Page two of the playbook.
Well, I got to tell you, though, and both of you guys have a great shot to make it. There's no doubt about that. With what BC's done, especially in the NFL in the last 5 years, but Mike Walker, and Pete talks about this a lot, you profile as a great returner because you run north-south.
Yes, sir.
You take it downhill. And a lot of returners do not do that. Even in the NFL level, it's east-west. And, Pete, you're a north-south guy.
The thing about a north-south runner is a downhill runner in the kicking game is you're never out of the play until the whistle blows. So what I learned is I was throwing a lot of blocks. I'd throw a block, and we had a culture that if you threw one block, you didn't hear the whistle, you went through another one. And you saw a lot of two- and three-block sequences, and you had a return specialist. Mike Nelms was the guy who was a pro bowler when I played. This guy was downhill. He was never out of the play until the whistle blew. So everybody was always throwing the extra block because you knew we were getting the extra effort out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into some big-time plays.
So keep the north south.
I will.
All right. Mike Walker, Aaron Montero, great to see you guys. Good luck Friday night.
Thank you.
Looking forward to a big game. There's no doubt about that. BC and Miami coming up Friday. We'll talk more with Rich Goodell after this from Jake and Joe's and our good friends at Bletzer and Bletzer. Eagles quickly up to the line of scrimmage. Tempo certainly their friend. High formation to give to Bailey. Up the right side. In. Touchdown, Boston College. BC and David Bailey. They found a new star running back. It's 30-20 Eagles.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Jake and Joe's with your host, John Meter-Perrell.
How about freshman David Bailey, the reigning Maryland Player of the Year? BC now one of eight teams nationally to have multiple 100-yard rushers in two or more games this season. Bailey, 28 carries, 112 yards, and that touchdown in the 38-20 win over Louisville.
All right, I got it on alert.
Yeah, what's the alert?
Rich Goodell recruited him.
No kidding. How about that, Rich? Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well done, my man. I hope there was a raise as part of that.
No. We won't talk about raises.
No, but that's a kid that we look at and say, man, that could be your next great BC running back, right?
Yeah, no, he's a great, really good player, and something we noticed when recruiting him, you know, is how well his feet were for as big as he is. You know, and he runs pretty well. And just going down and recruiting him and being in his town, everyone loved that kid. And as you know, we recruit, you know, specific type of kids, and they have to fit, you know, the mold of being a BC student athlete. And he exemplified that, just going down and being around them and recruiting him and being around his family.
Have you ever seen the Dancing Bear?
I have not.
Well, that's what he looks like, a dancing bear. A big old bearish body type. He's got great tappers.
He's also Cronin on the dance floor at a wedding.
So, I'm leaving that one alone. Right?
I've seen that in action. One thing we got to mention, guys, before the keys to the game with Rich Goodell, join the BC Gridiron Club and support the Eagles. Awesome home game, tailgates, exciting road game bashes. Next one coming up November 2nd in Roanoke, Virginia. Unprecedented team coverage and access. Sign up today at bcfootballgridiron.com. And, of course, go Eagles. Paul Criscione, Don Terrian here tonight at Jake and Joe's, as always, and they are a huge part of the BC football program. We thank them, as always, for their support. And, Rich, our McGovern Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram keys to the game, 777 Washington Street in Newton, or McGovernJeep.com. They have hundreds of cars to choose from. Offensively, the Eagles facing a tenacious Miami defense. What do you have to do to get a win?
Take care of the football. You know, we talked about earlier how this team thrives on turnovers. We have to take care of the football in all phases, protecting the quarterback and make sure we're catching the ball and securing it, running with it high and tight, all that good stuff, and moving the chains, just getting first downs constantly and, you know, doing what we do on offense and making them have to defend us.
Is it a week off situation where you're worried as a coach about the team coming up, for lack of a better term, flat? You think that's an issue?
I don't think so. I think, you know, Coach put down a very great plan for our guys. We had a couple practices last week, and then they've also had a good mix of having some time off to recharge their bodies. But I think they've handled it pretty well, and they came out today and had a really good practice and, you know, put another good one together tomorrow.
So when Friday night, when a couple of your guys make big plays, you don't mind us mentioning your name in the mix?
Nah, you mentioned their names. I'm just on the back burners now. My time's up.
You'd be surprised. We say nice things about nice people.
Well, this
appreciate
is,
it.
And one thing we haven't mentioned tonight is you started at Marion High School as a head coach right down the road.
Humble
both Framingham guys. You're a Framingham guy, too.
Humble beginnings.
Humble beginnings.
Yeah. Humble beginnings.
When you started that job, was BC always on your radar to be a coach at BC?
I'm a day-by-day guy. You know, it's always, you know, great to come back and coach your alma mater, but, you know, it's always been thoughts, but nothing too crazy. And, you know, when I got the call from Coach Dazio having me, you know, have an opportunity to come back, you know, I jumped all over it. I mean, before I even read the whole text, my wife already told me to take the job, so.
Smart man. Listen to your wife.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking to the all-time legend at the late Marion High School.
The late Marion High.
Unfortunately,
rest in
peace.
But
yeah.
Cronin had what? He was like the Doug Flutie of Marion,
oh, yes,
wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Had it all going. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no video. So it's all hearsay.
Cassette tapes.
Yeah. Not even those.
Right.
Not even those. Eight tracks. But there was no video.
And you guys know what Friday night means. That's big-time football. Doug Flutie will be there with the 1983 team. The 1993 team will be saluted as well. And don't forget, it's Red Bandana Night at BC.
Big game.
Wells Crowther.
Absolutely.
And what he did not only at BC but after BC, a true hero of 9/11. The late Wells Crowther, and we will be talking to his parents on our broadcast as well, Pete. We always look forward to that. So what does that mean for the BC team?
It's an emotional game for us. We know how much Wells done for BC and, like you said, for this country. You know, it's a huge thing. And, you know, Coach does a good job throughout the week of explaining, especially to the new freshman coming in, how important this game is and what the meaning of that game is and what that guy did and sacrificed his own life to save others. And, you know, it's huge for us, and that game's going to be an emotional game. It kind of brings out a different energy for us.
You couldn't ask for a better representative for BC in terms of what he did so heroically, saving at least 12 people, at least. And that's probably a low estimate in the South Tower on 9/11, Pete.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for us to remember him and also remember that the tragedy, but the good that came from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's encouraging that you can use this as a rallying point to help that, you know, change the emotional keel in going into this game and bring in a new level, a different level of importance to it.
Absolutely.
The intensity will be cranked up. BC and Miami on Friday night at the Heights. Rich Canal, great to see you. Great
Absolutely.
Job.
Thank you for having
well
me.
Well done.
Good job, man.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
A lot.
BC receivers coach, remember the name. Humble beginnings at WEEI as an intern. That's going to wrap it up here at the BC Football Show. Remember, next Monday night, we're at Hillside Cafe on the BC campus from 7 to 8. For our producer, Steve Ciaccio, special thanks to Jason Baum, Reggie Terry, Barry Gallup, and the cast of thousands here at Jake and Joe's. He's Cronin, I'm Mita Perel. Join us Friday night at 6:30 on the BC IMG Sports Network. Have a great week, everybody. Good night from Jake and Joe's. Now this from Anheuser-Busch.